G'day Jets fans, welcome to another preview episode of the Jets Dream. You're with me, David, as we are here today to look ahead to Sunday's clash for the Newcastle Jets against the Brisbane Roar in the A-League, as well as the Sunday clash between the Newcastle Jets and Melbourne City in the W-League. Joining me today, first of all, is a man that I've spent the last couple of days in a cell with, apparently. It's the MacGyver of alcohol himself. It's Glenn. Gwen.
Hello.
Hello.
Have we come up with a book title yet?
No. No, we haven't discussed this, but we will. And it needs to be a punny joke. So.
Yeah. I was thinking something like pull my finger or something like that. Something stupid.
Take me back to the bathroom. Very good. And another man who's joining us today, he's not just making up the numbers in the A-League fantasy head-to-head. He's currently in fourth position. It's Matt. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Dave. Glenn, thanks for finally having me on.
That's all right. It's not a problem. Thanks for being the debutante as well for this round, coming in off the bench from the stands and pulling on the shirt.
From the stands.
From the stands.
We'll pick you.
Very good. All right, guys. Well, opening question time. And Matt, you're first up because, well, you're the new guy. The opening question comes from a sometimes listener, even viewer time, Potter, Mitch. What are the best pair of sunglasses that you've owned, and do you still have them, or can you describe the tragic story that saw them exit your life?
Oh, mate, you gave this to me a little while ago, so I came up with a couple. And I do remember back to when I was 12 or 13 and we went over to the States. So I'm talking 25 years ago. And, of course, over there, bought the pair of Reebok pumps and I bought a brand new pair of Oakley blades. And I think the technical term for them now is speed dealers. I came back and I thought, you know, going into high school, I was like cool as shit. Bright orange and grey, and no, I don't still have them, and I'm glad that I've lost them, but I did have them for a little while afterwards, and I just kept looking at them and shaking my head. I can't believe I ever put those things on.
Are they the ones that you'd sort of associate with Mark Waugh back in the day?
Yeah, probably all bike riders.
Yeah. Like, okay.
As in the mammals.
Very good. Glenn, what's your story with your sonnies?
Well, the best pair I own, I still own them, there's some Ray-Bans that I got off eBay, but they're not knockoffs, they're actual real Ray-Bans. I didn't pay $5 for them, they're proper ones, but, they've been banged up. Hey?
Decent seven.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. They've been banged up, they've fallen off my head more times than I care to count, but they've sort of been downgraded to work sunnies now, so they're in the work car. They were good sunnies, and now they just keep stepping down, and I won't get rid of them until they fall apart. They're a good pair of sunnies, and like I say, they've gone from my going out sunnies to my going to work sunnies.
Didn't I end up carrying them around while we were on the Gold Coast earlier in the
year? You probably did. You probably did.
Damn, if I'd known the story, I wouldn't have said anything. Me, I don't really have a massive story around my sunnies. Probably the best pair I've owned was a pair of Nikes I got probably 10 years ago. Got really good wear out of them too. Tragic story to the end of them. I think they kind of just wore out. You know, I think they kind of, because they had some bits of rubber on the end and that sort of stuff, and they just really wore out. That was kind of the end, and I got a new pair. So really, really good story. Yeah. So we'll start off. Enough about
that. That was no Buttergate, but yeah.
No.
Now, where do you keep your sunnies? No, we won't get into that now.
On my head. On my head.
Do you wear the back of the neck? Anybody do the back of the neck thing?
No.
Yeah, no, me either. No. Yeah, the speed dealers would look good on the back of the neck though.
Only if you're walking around going nts, nts, nts.
Yes. Actually, when you said the Oakleys before, Matt, I immediately thought of those Oakleys that had the headphones built into them. You know the ones I'm talking about?
I know the ones you're talking about, mate, but they weren't around 25 years ago. So.
No.
Otherwise, I probably would have bought them.
I always look at them and I go, who would buy that? I've never seen anybody with them, like, actually on. I've only ever seen them on, like, mannequins and stuff. But, yeah, interesting.
Well, enough about Sonny's chat. I suppose we'll finish off the podcast with some football. looking at the fixture facts then ahead of this clash, we've had 40 matches between these two teams during the duration of the A-League. The Jets have got 17 wins, the Raw 14. And draw 9, and this is one of those fixtures where we know the trend is reversed, with the Raw having 10 wins in Newcastle, the Jets 5, and drawn 6 overall. Average home crowd for a Newcastle home fixture is 9,706. There are 48 goals apiece in this fixture. The Jets have scored the first goal, though, on 23 occasions, the Raw 15. The Jets have got 91 cards in this fixture. The Raw have had 59. Both teams are exactly the same for their recent form. Both have gone draw, loss, draw, win, loss. 5 points from their last 15. Our leading scorer is Ronald Vargas. The Raw's is Adam Taggart. The Jets last year went undefeated against the Raw, winning all three matches, with the last result being the 10th anniversary of the grand final win. It was a matchup at Suncorp that Joey Chandler scored a 79th minute winner. And my hat ended up flying about 5 rows in front of me in the celebrations. So, big game ahead, Glenn. Absolutely big game ahead. But it's good to finally be back at home after, well, 4 games on the road out of our first 6.
Yeah, and Ernie Merrick said as much in the post-match press conference after our City excursion. Really looking forward to it. Yeah, another home game. It's only, I think it's the second of the season, is that correct?
Third.
Third, sorry. Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, it is a huge game, and I'm sure we'll come on to the ins and outs, but it's huge for both teams, really.
I mean, it's got to be it's a big period, I'd say, Matt, coming in for the Jets. This block of games in December, we actually don't leave the state before of our next 5 games at home, the only away game that we have being against the Mariners on the 23rd of December, which is going to be a massive game. This is a really important block of games for the Jets that we need to get points.
Oh, absolutely. And if I'm right in remembering, I think we actually play Brisbane again at home on about the 2nd or the 3rd. So yes. We play them twice in a month, is that right? Yeah, look, I mean, we've had obviously no football in Newcastle for pretty much since the start of the year. The form isn't exactly great at the moment. Maybe this is a bit of a chance to turn it around. Bit of hometown support, bit of noise, you know, for the boys. And, maybe a couple of those chances will actually start to go in.
Glenn, we said at the beginning of the season that it was really going to be a difficult first 6 weeks for the Jets. With 5 points from a possible 18.
Yeah.
We won't be looking at that, and Ernie certainly won't be happy with the return that he's seen from the squad so far this season, would he?
No, and I think more to the point, especially the week gone by, yeah, he won't be happy with the performance either. I mean, some of the matches that we've lost, we haven't played too poorly, especially considering the dearth of not talent but just the available players, I suppose, in certain positions, especially up front. So I really feel like the Melbourne City performance and result drove home that it's not good enough. The points aren't good enough, but extenuating circumstances, as we've gone over, you know, ad nauseum, with players that aren't available. But I really think it's hopefully the loss and the performance that we witnessed last weekend, it might just be the impetus and the kick up the date that the squad needs.
Where the club are currently sitting, is it too early, Matt, to be starting to look at this as a potential 6-pointer? Because the Roar are just ahead of us, and if we are to possibly even draw but definitely lose this game, there's a risk early on that we're going to start to be cut adrift from that top 6, even though we've hardly, maybe a third of the way through the season or thereabouts. But the real risk that we're going to lose touch, certainly with the top 4 and even potentially the top 6.
I don't think Ernie's too worried about it. I think we just need to hit a bit of form right now and we'll come third just like he planned. So, yeah. I think it's you can't really make a call on the season before Christmas. I mean, look where Victory were last year at this time.
Yeah, that's a really valid point, Glenn. Victory were able to get a real run. But I will say, while it is strong, there's a real chance for us in December. After that in January, we have one game at home in the next six from early January, plus an ACL qualifier in there. The draw's really, really weird this year, and the Jets just they literally aren't at home for long stretches and periods of the season.
Yeah, I remember when I got the members pack in the mail and I was just looking at the – you know, the fixtures came out long ago, but when you're sitting and looking at them right in front of you, you sort of realise, like, oh, we're away, you know, 3-4 weeks in a row at times, and it's just – you sort of struggle to think, why is that? I mean, it's too late to change it now, but it just doesn't seem to make any sense to me. Yeah, it's very strange, and it sort of doesn't – you know, when you've got a – when you're week about sort of home and away, you've got a chance to sort of, you know, right the wrongs of the week. But when you're away, you know, and you're training at home, but then you're on the bus or the plane or whatever, it just doesn't give you any chance to get a head of steam up. And, yeah, look, there's no use complaining about it, but it is certainly very strange. You definitely raised some eyebrows when I looked at the draw as well.
Well, let's have a look at the squads. We'll start with the Jets. Some very interesting outs, and the two outs that we've got are very interesting. Matt, the first of that is Ronald Vargas, who's out with an injury to his groin. It was mentioned earlier in the week through the Newcastle Herald that Ronnie was certainly on light duties and that he was a potential to miss the match. But here's your confirmation that he's out of the squad for this week. How big of a loss is that going to be?
Oh, absolutely massive. He's probably out of our front four. He's probably the only one that you could actually say has had shown any kind of form this year. I mean, I think that it's probably time to actually shelve the Hoffman experiment. Jaez hasn't really impressed. Even Dimi is, I think someone mentioned it on like the last pod, he's turned into Zenon Caravella and started doing 360s. He just hasn't been moving the ball quickly enough because the options haven't been there. I think last year Jets were a very direct team in attack and it paid off because we were able to catch so many people on the counter. And other than Ronnie, who like he still had a couple of good moments in the last game. I mean, I think Harper was going off for a good 5 minutes about that little run at the end of the first half.
Mm.
No one's really shown anything. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an absolutely massive loss.
The last couple of weeks, Glenn, we spoke earlier in the season around Vargas and Dimi almost having to learn to play again with each other. They were almost getting in and around on each other's toes. And I remember from the Sydney game in particular, there was a direct move to put Dimi and Ronnie directly in the middle of the park, very close to each other, so they link off each other. Do you think that Vargas' injury could be the release that Dimi needs to become the main man again and perhaps look to run the game? Or is it just going to mean that Brisbane's start to put a couple of extra players on top of Dimi because he's going to be the guy?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's probably a little of both, but more I think it would more play into Brisbane's hands. They only have one quote-unquote playmaker to really concern themselves with as far as they would see it, I can imagine. As Matt mentioned, Joey hasn't fired yet. There's always a chance that this week when he's back in the squad, it could start to click for him. You know, you've got players like Mitch Austin and Angus Thurgate who have had bit parts here and there. So I mean, yeah, but the only name on that sheet, attacking wise, that would strike fear into an opponent would be Dimi Petratos. So I really think it just makes their job in their eyes a bit easier. But I've been impressed with Dimi in a way. Like, I mean, he hasn't had the same impact, but he he's really trying his guts out. Sometimes to his detriment, he tries to do too much. But I agree with what Matt said as well. It's probably more to do with the options that he's got in front of him aren't as numerous as they were last season. He's not shirking his responsibilities. He's really trying to make something happen. So I think you'll see more of that this week. But it may be an easier task for Brisbane to surround him and nullify him.
The other player Matt.
So what I saw, like I think the big difference between last year and this year, and I think other than the first game against Central Coast, I don't think we actually played that well at the start of last year. We were just lucky that we had, you know, Roy and I think Naboo scoring a few goals. But the big difference I saw last year was that we had Naboo always looking to get in behind. So you could play that diagonal ball down into the channel, and then he would hit a first-time cross to Roy, who would always be on the penalty spot, and Roy would actually bury it. Now, like, and I'll say this especially to Dr. Emma. I'm a Hoffman fan, but he's just not clinical enough to be a striker. He'll score the odd wonder goal, but how did he not score like on the weekend from 3 yards out? How did he not score in the grand final? He's just not consistent enough to be a striker, and I think that's where we've really missed, is that we had that slow build-up play last year going down one side with Dimmy, and we always had the outlet with Naboo, and at the moment we don't have it.
That's something that I pointed out. I don't know if I mentioned it on the pod on Tuesday, but I did. It's something I've noticed as well, that our inability to have a player that can get in behind, the speed at which we are able to push teams back and I suppose spread the defence, that the defensive lines of both respective teams, has been, I think, a contributing factor to the way the teams are playing. It's a good point you raise, Matt. But the other player that is missing from this weekend is Lachlan Jackson with a nose injury, Glenn. I didn't see anything in particular during the game that would have led to him having an injury. It's something that we haven't seen.
I think it was due to a previous injury. He'd broken his nose. It might have even been in training, it's maybe flared up and caused some respiratory issues. So if you can't get enough oxygen in,
warehouse.
Oh, there's a 12th man reference for you. They'll make your face grouse.
Yeah, so,
that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut, David. Nobody's going to get that.
Yeah, well, we had to explain it, didn't we? Those that listen to the 12th man probably get it. Anyways, but, I mean, Lachie Jackson, he's been a much maligned figure, Matt, this season so far, and I'm cutting you off there, Glenn, sorry, but Bajica's definitely going to be the player that comes in, I would expect, for Jackson in his absence.
Is that a definite, or would you move Hoffman back and just switch Georgeski over?
I'm bringing Bajica in. What about? But if you're,
I think Merrick will bring Bajica in because he doesn't like to make a lot of changes all at once. But I think the experiment with Hoffman up front is probably over. I'd be looking more at where we had a lot of luck was having the more active overlapping fullbacks last year, so Georgeski, Hoffman, and especially this week when we don't have a recognised striker, unless Shepherd's back, which if he is, then that'll be a big plus. But if you've got Austin and Thurgate starting up front in the wide positions, and if we don't have Shepherd, who's going to start in the number nine? Like Dimmy, he's not exactly going to be an out and out striker. He'll probably play as more of a false nine. So you're going to expect your wide players to be coming in. If there is the break, you want that overlapping. You want the overlapping fullbacks, and well, I've actually been a bit of a Jackson fan this year, but like in a defensive sense. But he doesn't offer anything going forward. He doesn't even get marked when he goes into the opposition half, and I think that's probably why Dimmy and Ronnie have struggled to get time on the ball, because they don't mark him. Like if he gets the ball, someone will go out to Jackson, but no one's worried about him in an attacking sense.
The players who remain unavailable this round are Roy O'Donovan with 2 rounds left to serve on suspension, and Joey Champness with his foot injury, still a date to be confirmed for return. The ins this week are Jair, who's returning from injury, Mitch Austin, and Mitch Austin, who's been promoted, and Kane Sheppard, who also returns from injury. Glenn, we'll start with the defence, the back five. How are you looking? Are you looking to make any changes? I didn't speak to you about Jackson's injury. Are you looking to bring Vujicic in, or would you be doing something different?
I think I read somewhere. I can't really find it now. I was just looking while you guys were discussing that. But I'm pretty sure I read today, it might have been Craig Deans that said it would be a straight swap Vujica in for Jackson. So I'm pretty sure that's nailed on. Okay. I too would like to see Hoffman back there, just because he's both a good defender and he has that attacking outlet as well, and he can whip in a cross. But I think we won't see that until O'Donovan's back, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I believe it'll be Vujica, and then that'll be the only change in the back line for me. How do you see it?
I see it the same. Matt, you're keeping the other four positions the same.
I think Vujica will come in, but it's not what I would like to happen.
Okay, mm-hmm. Georgevski's retaining any spot for you?
Yeah, I think he will.
Okay. Looking into the midfield then, guys, the bit of interest, I suppose, with Ugarkovic, Nick Cowburn, Ben Kantorovsky, all capable of playing there, as well as Matt Redenton. How are you lining up? How are you lining up as the two screening players, the two midfielders there?
I think based on the post-match comments, Ernie wasn't happy at all with Ugarkovic. I think perhaps a little bit harsh on that. I don't think he played his best, but he was also out of what I would call his natural position. So with taking his comments and putting some weight into those, I think Stevie UG might be on the bench this week, and I think it might go with Redenton and Kedrowski in the middle.
Wow, that would be a massive call. What about you, Matt? Are you looking to make a similar selection?
Well, to be honest, I thought Cowburn, like in the first half, was probably one of our best players. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually keeps his spot. As far as where do you play UG, well, I think Canner will stay next to him because you just need that bit of grunt in midfield, which we missed for the first couple of rounds. Mm-hmm. I'm actually struggling to see where Redenton fits into the squad. Like, I mean, we had Wayne Brown last year as a visa player that couldn't really crack it, and I'm putting Redenton at the moment anyway into the same sort of boat, unless they can move him further forward into maybe the number 10 role. But yeah, for me, it's an absolute mystery what he's going to do. Like, if he may even change to like a 4-3-3, and play Redenton, and play UG, Canner, and Cowburn as the three midfielders.
There's an option there. Look, if he was going to drop Ugarkovic, that would be a massive call. This is a player, just had a look at the information here, and he's made 44 consecutive appearances for the Jets. He's closing in on Tarek Elrich's record of 68. I think 67 is then second with Matt Thompson or something like that. This is a player who is a staple in the team. And despite, I'm having a look at what we probably need and how aggressive we need to be up front, and I'm probably making the change to reunite Ugarkovic and Kantorovsky, despite the good performance of Nick Cowburn last week. He's the player that I would be dropping from there. So I personally would be going for Ugarkovic and Canner. Which brings us on to the front. Let's treat him as a front four. Matt, how are you lining up?
No idea. I think you have to go with Austin on one wing and Thurgate on the other. I just haven't seen enough from Jair to suggest that he should be playing ahead of one of those two. Like, I'd expect that he probably will play ahead of Austin. Mm-hmm. I think Thurgate will definitely get a start, but I think I would like to see Jair, if we have to, as a number 9, and then Dimi as the 10 in behind, and then you've got the two wide players.
Okay, what about you, Gwen?
Yeah, I would suggest the same. I think Jair up top, Petratos behind him in a number 10 role, and then I'd probably give Thurgate the nod, and maybe Austin. Austin. Yeah, why would I put Austin there? I'm not a massive fan of Austin, I'll be honest. I think Hoffman and Thurgate on the wings, I should say, and then Petratos 10 and Jair 9.
Okay,
I think that's probably the most likely setup. But yeah, I'd rather see Hoffman drop back and then Austin start.
Yeah, I'm personally seeing Hoffman, Thurgate as your wide players, Dimi in the centre, and Jair up top as well. That's how I would be looking to start it. And I don't know, there's just something that maybe it's the hopeless romantic in me, but maybe Dimi and Jair can actually strike something up and see if we can get something happening there.
I'd like to see Hoffman get a hat trick because he's still in my fantasy team.
Me too. I've still got him in mind. I mean, we had a really poor performance last game. And that's we're going to move on from that. But if you're a player, Glenn, are you looking to really get back out there straight away, put a response in, you know, make a statement performance, move on from that, get that last game behind you? I mean, we've had to wait a week between games. It's not like it is in Europe or in other competitions. Do you think that perhaps the motivation, the drive will have been lost throughout the week?
I think it depends on the player. I think some players take it to heart, and that can be good or bad. They can get stuck in a rut if they spend too much time dwelling on it. But they can also gain confidence from when they are in good runs of form as well. So I really think it's down to each individual player, but also the coach can sort of influence that a little bit. And I feel like Merrick's not the type to dwell too much on it. He wants to learn lessons from both good and bad things and performances. But, you can't do anything about the result that's behind you. You can only do something about the game to come. So I'm hoping that they're, learning lessons from mistakes of the past and hoping to put them right into the future. And I think the main factor this week is going to be in playing in front of a parochial home crowd, which they haven't had in a few weeks.
Matt, we'll talk about the Brisbane Roar for a bit. And I really didn't expect, after seeing him limp off, that Adam Taggart would be named in the squad this weekend, nor Eric Boetiak. And I actually had written down here that how were the Roar going to replace Taggart's goals, because aside from him, the five that he scored this season, Enrique with one is the only other player to have scored for them. But he's back in the team, and that's got to be a massive boost for the Roar and his teammates.
Absolutely. I only moved back to Newcastle a couple of years ago, and I lived up in Brisbane for 12 or 13 years, so I've actually seen more Roar games live than what I have Jets games.
Are you sure your name's Matt, it's not Anthony?
And my last name is Hutchinson as well, so yeah, we can get that out of the system too. So, the amount of times I went to home games and all my mates would start up the old Hutcho's a wanker chant, and just to get it started was like unbelievable. It was almost every time I came back home. But yeah, look, Taggart offers some, like he just offers that little bit of pace, and he's got that poacher's knack, and I think that if he was 100% fit, Topper and Boogs would probably struggle to contain him. It might actually be a blessing. Like, I mean, if he's going into the game with a little bit of injury, and anyone that's had sort of groin injuries before, you sort of takes away a bit of confidence when you're striking the ball or when you're really trying to get to top speed. It might be a blessing in disguise if he actually starts, because I don't think he's going to be the type of player that will be able to out-muscle the centre-backs, but he's definitely the type of player that would be able to get the metre or two of space and then put a shot on goal.
The other player that I mentioned there, that was mentioned as injured, was Eric Boetiak, Glenn, and he's also been included in the Roar squad for this week. He's a dangerous player. He hasn't really shown up against the Jets so far in the three appearances he's had, but you can't treat him with any disrespect. You need to be watching him because he's a tricky, dangerous player.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of pace as well. And obviously, when he came onto the scene last season, he was underdone, and it took him a while to get up to match fitness and speed. But he's definitely got a decent amount of pace, and it's going to provide a challenge for whichever. Well, I think he's mainly on the right side, isn't he? So it'll be in our opinion, it'll be Georgievski's.
He plays left.
So, I think it's going to pose an interesting challenge for the fullbacks to cover him, and probably also allows them to cheat a little bit too, because it'll be foolish for Georgievski to bomb forward when he knows he's got the threat of Bautiak to try and cover on the way back as well.
Mm. Another player that's come into the league this season is Lopez, and the impact that he's had on the Raw, Matt, has been compared to that of Corona when he came into the team a couple of years ago. He's a very creative, forward-looking force for the Raw, and the Jets are going to need to do a job on him and shut him down, and it's going to probably be a big role for whoever that defensive midfielder is, be it Kanter, Ugarkovic, or Cowby.
Absolutely, 100% agree. I think that it'll probably be Kanter that'll be put up against it, because so much seems to go through him, because he takes one touch and then looks to get forward. So it's going to be interesting to see if they deal with him and how they deal with him.
I mean, of course, Stefan Mauk is suspended for this match following his knockout on Craig from the week before.
We shouldn't laugh. We're not professionals.
No, we aren't, no. But the final player I wanted to talk about from the Raw is Connor O'Toole, Glenn, and a lot of praise for this young fullback early on in his career, even to the point where last year he was keeping Corey Brown out of the team at left back. And that's going to also be an interesting lineup for probably, I reckon, Hoff will be lining up on that right-hand side.
Yeah, yeah, Timmy's older brother, Connor. it'll be good for I think Hoffman will give him a game, because obviously Hoffy's been around in the league a while now, so there's a few tricks of the trade. And I often notice Hoffman will feint to run one way, and even without the ball, he'll feint one way and then shape the other, and I think that might have young O'Toole spinning a few circles. So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm always excited to see young players come into the league and just see how they adapt and learn their trade on the fly. It's more exciting when they're playing with our shirt on, but nevertheless, it's good to see some good young talent being nurtured through up in Brisbane as well.
Timmy, well, I didn't think I'd do that.
I saw what you did there. That was very subtle.
All right, guys, if the Jets are going to win, I'm going to go, Glenn, we'll start with you. What do the Jets have to do if they're going to, how do they have to approach this match, and what needs to be successful for them to get 3 points on the weekend?
I feel like they have to really take the onus in this match. Two reasons, because we, as Matt has mentioned early in the pod there, we're not breaking with as much intensity as we were last season, so we can't, I don't think, especially until we get some more attacking threats back from either injury or suspension, we can't rely on that way of breaking like we did last season, because it's just not working. So I really feel like, especially at home, we have to take the initiative and really get in their face, press high up the pitch and just take it to them, hopefully get an early goal and get the momentum swinging in our favour.
Matt?
Absolutely. We turn the ball over way too much. Let's turn it over in the attacking third instead of at halfway like we are at the moment. So just, I think we need to be more direct, more positive, less touches in their half, and see what happens. You're going to lose it.
I'm certainly looking for an increase in the speed of the ball movement this week. I think that's been our downfall. we're allowing the teams to build and regain their defensive line and put the ball, put 8-9 players behind the ball as we're trying to break through. We're also turning the ball over far too easily, particularly last week. It was a big downfall for our team. And as we mentioned, putting the pressure back on our defence straight away, turning it over in our defensive third. So they're the two things that I would like to be seeing from the Jets this week. And hopefully that's what we will see with their return to McDonald Jones Stadium. So, Glenn, give us your prediction for the game.
I think it'll be 2-1 Jets. I think we'll do it in front of a strong home crowd.
Matt?
Mate, if Shepherd starts, I think we'll win 2-0.
If Shepherd doesn't start?
I reckon that we'll probably lose 1-0.
Oh, okay, very interesting. I'm with Glenn. I'm going to go with the 2-1 win to the Jets as well. We really don't look like we're able to keep a clean sheet, and goal scoring looks difficult, but hopefully I actually think, despite against all logic and reason, perhaps the missing Vargas this week could be the catalyst for a bit of a change in the way the Jets have to play, simply because of his absence, no other reason. So, moves on to the W League. Prior to the A-League game, W League will be playing at McDonald Jones Stadium this weekend. They kick off at 2:30 on Sunday. They come up against Melbourne City, who are currently in the unfamiliar position of 7th on the table, the Jets currently sitting in 6th. But Melbourne City have the wood completely over the Jets. And it's a case where we have never beaten them, and we hadn't scored, I think, until last season as well. So this is also a massive clash for the W League team, Matt, this coming weekend.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, I mean, even going into this season, weren't City expected to take it out again?
Yes, they're the favourites again.
Yeah. And look, I'll be honest, I don't watch a lot of W League. I am watching it right now as we speak, and Sam Kerr's put two away against Adelaide. She'd be a pretty handy addition for us, I think, at the moment for number 9, as far as like people that can just be clinical in front of goal.
Absolutely.
Look, I would love to say that I think that we will, you know, come out with the 3 points on this, but there hasn't been exactly a lot of turnover in the City squad either. So, if you're going to go with history, and the optimist says we'll get a draw.
Okay. Glenn, there's a number of massive names in the City squad. It's full of Matildas, ex-Matildas as well. You've got Lydia Williams and Melissa Barbieri as the two goalkeepers for the team. I mean, come on. Steph Catley's there. You've got Tamika Butt, who's left the Brisbane Roar and come to City this year. You've got Elise Kellen-Knight. You've got... two familiar names in Riley Dobson and Adriana Jones. You've got Kaya Simon, who unfortunately is injured at the moment as well. The one player that they are missing is Jess Fishlock. And I think that that's probably the difference between these two teams so far this year, is her absence. Do you think that the Jets are finally looking to break their hoodoo against City this week?
Yeah, definitely they are, for sure. And I think... To be honest, I think it's probably a good time to play them because they've come off a loss last week and they're obviously travelling up here. So I don't know. I've really, from what I've seen, unfortunately I didn't get to the last home game of the W League. Was it last week? Last Thursday. So I did watch bits and pieces of it on the TV where I could, but obviously I didn't see enough to make an informed opinion, but the other games that I've seen of theirs have just been so fluid and especially defensively so strong, and I really feel like, you know, we're going to keep more clean sheets than not this season, and it's just a matter of putting the ball in the net at the other end, much like the A-League team, I suppose. So I don't know. I'm quietly confident of getting a result here and hopefully putting some demons against Melbourne City to rest.
There's a massive, I guess, issue coming up this week, and I haven't heard any more on how her injury was, but Katie Stengel, the Jets' star striker, sustained an injury during the week at training where I think it was an ankle injury and is certainly in doubt for this game, Matt. And the loss of Stengel, who is the Jets, certainly the Jets' leading assist provider this year. She's equal top of the league with two, and also their main goal threat. That's massive for the team. As we're seeing with the A-League team, how they're struggling without their key striker. Do you think that could be reflective for the W-League team as well?
I think we probably could have had exactly the same podcast discussion between the two teams if you look at it, where they sit, games played and points and whatnot. And, Stengel is right at the top as far as assists goes, but is it Jasmine Spencer is right at the top for goals scored as well. So it's not going to be an easy task anyway.
Hmm. All right. So looking ahead to this clash, it is massive, as I mentioned, for the W League, because after this game, they head across to Perth to play Perth Glory, and you're already saying Sam Kerr's on fire, fifth in the Ballon d'Or this week as well, which is an amazing achievement for an Australian footballer. And after that, the Jets have got the bye. They've also got the bye. So straight away, we can actually find ourselves. We are currently sitting just outside the top four. We are in sixth with 6 points. If we lose this and go away to Perth Glory, who are sitting in second, we could almost be out of touch of that top four before we know it. And facing the prospect, despite what many are saying, Glenn, is the best squad that the Jets have had in ever, being outside the finals.
Yeah, I mean, we have had some late arrivals as well. The most notable being Wright. So that'll take a while to, even though she's very familiar with the surroundings and a lot of the teammates, it'll take a while to really stamp her place in the squad. So I'm not too concerned just yet, but yeah, it is huge, this game. It's a perfect opportunity, like I mentioned. You would start to ask a few questions if we can't at least put in a really good performance on Sunday. But it's a long way from being done yet, and anything can happen through the course of the season. And you know, there's nothing to say we couldn't go to Perth and get a result there either, even though they are, as you say, second and haven't lost a game yet. So I don't know. Wait and see. I'm not too concerned at this stage. And even if we lose, as long as we put a good performance in on Sunday, I'd still be optimistic.
Okay. So, gents, Matt, we'll start with you. What's your prediction for the game?
1-1. I'm going to say 1-1.
Okay. Glenn?
I think we'll keep a clean sheet and get 3 points, 1-0.
I agree with you. I think that this will be a massive midfield battle. It's you'd be looking to put Van Egmond, something to do, up against Kellen Knight, Tamika Butt as well in there. So probably be looking to put Wright in there as well. Hopefully with her energy can nullify that option. But then the Jets have got to get past Matilda's goalkeeper, Lydia Williams. So massive game. I'm sticking with you, Glenn. I'm saying 1-0. And hopefully the Jets can start the day off for the club on the right foot. So, look ahead now to the rest of the fixtures. We'll start off with the A-League, Glenn. Mm-hmm. Western Sydney Wanderers versus Central Coast Mariners on Friday night. What's your tip?
I would like to say a birdie special, but I just don't think Western Sydney Wanderers are capable. They're ordinary. They are terrible. And I'm not saying that can't change, but you can only, you know, the best predictor of future performance is past performance, and they are shocking. So I'm going to say it's a draw here, because they're both as bad as each other. 1-1.
I'm going for 0-0. What about you, Matt?
No, fuck them. Birdie special.
And you can come back. Saturday night, 8th of December, it's a 5:30 kickoff between Sydney and Wellington down at Jubilee Stadium, which is in Cogra. How many is Sydney going to win by, Matt? Sorry to our friends at Wellington Phoenix who do listen to this pod.
It is tough, isn't it? Especially because they started out so solidly against us. 2-0.
2-0 Sydney?
Yeah, 2-0, of course, the Sydney. De Jong, I think, is back as well this week. So, and apparently he won't even start. Like, Corica, I think I read something today to say that Corica wasn't even going to start him, which that's a massive card to have coming off the bench.
Yeah, wow. Sam De Jong returns from injury. There he is. Yeah, look, well, if he plays him, there's a guaranteed substitute at some point throughout the game. Glenn, what's your prediction for the match?
I predicted the draw last week with Wellington and Perth. So I think my luck ran out on that.
That was the only thing in my five-leg multi that I did not get.
You should, yeah, come to me next time. look, I think my luck's running out on that. I'd love to see them jag something here as well, but, you know, travelling over here and not even to Sydney either, just down to Wollongong Cogra there. So it's going to be unfamiliar and a little bit more travel for them. So, and just on paper, the squad's just incredible. So I think 2-1 Sydney.
All right. I'm going to pick a 2-0 win to Sydney there. Oh, no. I'm actually going to pick a 2-0 draw. I'm going to pick 2-0.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm going to pick a 2-0 draw, actually. I think Wellington can put in a surprise. Saturday, 7:50 PM kickoff, Melbourne Victory versus Adelaide in the insert derby name here, fake derby name here. So, Glenn, who are you picking? Melbourne Victory have been really impressive last week, but Adelaide found their scoring boots.
Yeah, they have. I mean, I think, I don't know, I just trust the attacking output of Victory more than I trust the defence of Adelaide. So I think it'll be a tight game. They won't put four on them like they did Western Sydney last week. But I think it'll probably be, I'd say, 2-1 here as well in Victory's favour.
Okay. And what about you, Matt?
Yep, I actually agree. Yeah, 2-1 or 1-0 to Victory, and I reckon this is the start to see the slide in form of Craig Goodwin.
Ooh. Gary Van Egmond going to bench him, do you reckon?
I mean, I am on my fantasy team, but I don't know what they're going to do. Like, they probably should.
I'm going to pick a Victory 3-2 win, a late 3-2 win. Come from behind.
3-2. That'd be exciting.
Yeah, it would be a good game. These are my head anyway. Perth Glory versus Melbourne City FC. Matt, what about the final of a Saturday triple header in the A-League? Perth and Melbourne City. Ooh.
That's Perth at home?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The one thing that Perth probably haven't got at the moment is a number nine. Like, I mean, Keo does his usual workhorse thing, but he's not scoring a great deal. Melbourne City's like all over the shop. You don't even know which players are going to turn up, like who Joyce is going to get the shits with during the week. So I'm going to pick 1-0 to Perth.
Okay. What about you, Glenn?
I think something very similar. I'll go the same, actually. I'll just go 1-0 because I think Perth will do it over at home. But they're not they're doing the job, but they're not super slick at the minute. They could be scoring more goals, but yeah, I think 1-0 will get them over the line.
Okay.
If they score more than the other team, that'll get them over the line.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, yeah. I'm picking a Perth Glory 2-0. I think they'll just have too much. All right, W League. We won't talk about the Adelaide Perth game because I'm tipping Perth.
It's happening now.
Yep. Friday sees Western Sydney versus Canberra. Out Western Sydney. Western Sydney are winless. I'm picking Canberra there, 2-0.
Yeah, I'll go, I think 2-1. I think Western Sydney might get a goal, but it'll be a consolation. 2-1, Canberra.
Matt?
Yeah, agree. Like, go with the table.
And the final match for the W League is a Sunday 4 PM kickoff, Sydney FC versus Brisbane Roar. Sydney FC doing really well, Brisbane Roar likewise as well. I'm picking A1 will draw here.
Yeah, I
Glenn,
think...
Glenn, go yeah, on, Ed. Sorry,
yeah, thank you, thank you.
It's the end of the pod.
Now, I think a draw would be a fair result probably for these two teams. I think there might be more than the one goal each, so I'll go 2-2.
Very good. And Matt?
Brisbane 1-0.
Very good. Okay. Well, that wraps up another week of the pod. No more news? I don't think we've got any news to go through. Okay. Nothing nice? Very good.
No scripts. Except, Glenn, well done on the correct use of the word dearth earlier in the pod. I do remember that coming up in the Fox Sports podcast a couple of weeks ago where they got it completely wrong. So congratulations, mate. Timmy and dearth, two very good contributions.
Thank you.
If people want to find the Jet Stream, I don't know why they would, but if people do, then you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/JetStreamNewey. You can also talk to us on
Twitter. I'm sure Brenton Speed listens.
Hi, Speedy, if you're listening. I somehow don't think that you are. Twitter and Instagram at JetStreamNewey for both of those. You can also email us at podcast@newcastlefootball.net. You can find us on heaps of music places and podcast platforms as well. So Ferns has mentioned them, Google, Spotify, and if you've found some that we're not on, just hit Ferns up at the podcast and he'll try and get us on there too. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Glenn?
Thanks, Dave, for having me.
Stellar debut, Matt.
Thank you very much. Hopefully I'll be allowed back.
Yeah, I reckon we'll probably have you on when we need someone to talk.
Straight from the bottom of the barrel.
Until then, enjoy the matches on the weekend. Enjoy the weekend of football. Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Yeah, that was heartfelt. That was excellent.
Well.
I chose the wanker.
Has anybody thrown coins at you?
Mate, I used to stand up and like just cop it, and we didn't even sit in the active support. We sat next to them, but all my mates would start that chant just so it would carry on. They're assholes, but it was good fun.
Oh, very good.